Hey, how we doing? Welcome back to the Spark Show DFS podcast. I am your host, Mark Sparky Lee. And I lied to you. I told you I was only going to do these for the four majors this year. But I'm going to try and do this every week. I had so much fun last week that I'm going to keep doing it. First, we're going to recap the Players' Championship a little bit. I'm sure most of you don't need a recap, so I'll just keep it brief. But my strategy somewhat paid off, where the first round leader or someone within two strokes ended up winning. Because after the first round, I put a bet on Rory. It was between him or Fleetwood at plus 600. And what it came down to is Fleetwood seemed to have just one bad day on the weekend where he would just hand over a tournament. So I figured Rory, he was due. Plus 600 isn't crazy, but, worked out. The other three guys I put bets on right there that were kind of in a little bit deeper odds, deeper chance. Obviously, that's how that works out. But Ben Ahn was 22-1. Rory Sabatini was 125-1. Brendan Steele was somewhere around there, 125-1. They all gained strokes tee to green, but they were the only three up within, I think it was three strokes, maybe four strokes, that had lost strokes putting. So I figured they could keep hitting it tee to green and they'd have scoring chances throughout the weekend. Benny Ahn was kind of there. Sabatini shot two over on the weekend, but he wasn't terrible. Steele, I should have never trusted because his form has just been awful. And he had like one good tournament going into this. I think it was Arnold Palmer. So I was like, yeah, what the hell. But that didn't pan out. I would have rather hit one of those, but I mean, Rory, you kind of figured Rory, Rahm, Fleetwood would end up running away with this where they were at. And it's kind of what happened, except on the last day with Rahm and Fleetwood basically handing the tournament over. But it was good to see Rory finally get one. You know, he's been close the last couple months, a lot of top tens. And that narrative going around that he couldn't finish is just kind of stupid. He's one of the best in the game, so well-deserving. Now we're going to hit the course in the tournament for this week. We got Valspar Championship. This is, Innisbrook Golf Resort, Copperhead Course, Palm Harbor, Florida, which is on the Gulf Coast, west of Orlando, I do believe. It's par 71, 7,340 yards, undulating. Overseeded Bermuda greens, sort of like we saw last week. This tends to be one of the hardest courses on tour, and especially I think we're supposed to get 10 to 15 mile an hour winds here this weekend, so could play pretty tough. The winning score is usually between 7 and 14 under in the past few years. Had one hit 14 under here 2 years ago, but typically it's a little lower than that, 10 under. Closing three holes are known as the Snake Pit, and they're crazy hard. It's a pine tree-lined course, kind of a similar layout to what we had at Sawgrass last week. Plenty of dog legs. There's rolling terrain, so you're going to get funky lies at points. A lot of risk and reward shots with waters and bunkers. Somewhat off the tees, they're in play, and into the greens, especially bunkers. Obviously, and the greens get pretty hilly. There's four par fives on this course and five par threes, which is really bizarre to see because usually it's four par threes, four par fives, and then 10 par fours in a 72 par course. So those par threes, that there's five of them, that stat is going to be weighted a little bit more this week than it would typically be. Should be similar to TPC Sawgrass like last week, so kind of look for a little correlation there. I heard the weather was dry. I heard the weather was wet down there lately, but I did hear for a fact, I don't know which one of those was right, but it should play firm, and it typically plays firm. The key stats that I'm looking at this week, strokes gained tee to green, approaching the green is a huge one, strokes gained approaching the green, and I'm also looking at strokes gained off the tee because there are some long par fives. All these par fours play pretty hard, so if you're getting in a little trouble off of the tee, then you're going to have a hard time getting there, and you're just going to fade out here. Green and regulation is another one I'm looking at, and then bogey avoidance, you know, with the score so low. I want to see guys that just tend to play safe and not get many bogeys, birdie or better, because you're going to need to score, maybe throw down a low round, and you could win this thing just by shooting 5 under in one round, par 5 scoring, and then par 3 scoring, like I mentioned earlier. The field is, we have about half the purse size of last week at the Players, and almost half, again, compared to next week at the World Golf Championship. So it's kind of a downfield. No real surprise there. Still a few big names. Dustin Johnson, Jason Day, John Rahm, Sergio, Patrick Reed. There's been quite a few withdrawals, and then there was a few more today. But overall, there's been probably about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 or 10 guys pull out at this point. And there was a rumor I saw floating around on Twitter. J.J. Spawn pulled out last week after one round. And then I heard he pulled out today during a practice round and was holding his back a little bit. So that might be one to look into if you're thinking about putting J.J. Spawn in your lineups. But, I mean, DraftKings FanDuel is probably going to keep you updated on who's in and who's out. Okay, so my plays for the big dogs in this category is 8,900 and up on DraftKings. My first cash play is going to be Dustin Johnson. Kind of a safe pick here. And I started writing this article last night about it. And then today I've listened to Golf Degenerates, Tour Junkies, Pat Mayo, just to kind of get a feel where everybody was at. And it seems like most people might fade the top three guys this week, try and make a more balanced lineup because there's not too much depth here. So I think I'm going to go the other way with this. And I'm going to take Dustin Johnson. And I think there's some sneaky sleeper plays down low that you can play that people aren't really thinking about. Or maybe people just don't have the guts to play. But I think I'm going to do Dustin Johnson, maybe even John Rahm a little bit. And then use some of those sleepers. Because, I mean, the guys that in the upper sevens this week, I don't think are much better than the guys in the lower sevens or even some of the guys in the mid to upper sixes in terms of pricing. So I think Stars and Scrubs might be a decent approach this week. But Dustin Johnson has 11 straight rounds of 2 under or better, which is insane. And he's coming off a nice showing at the Players where he finished tied for fifth. The ball striking was incredible. He was missing some short putts here and there, but you'll kind of have that. So if he does the same thing here, he'll probably win, or at least top five again. I see probably with this top-heavy field, like the Honda Classic, we had Sergio, Ricky, Brooks all in the top 10. I kind of see that happening again with DJ, Rahm, Day, Webb, Sergio. I think three of those guys will probably end up in the top 10. So if you just pick the right ones, then you're going to have a great lineup. That was Dustin Johnson at 11,500 on DraftKings. Next cash play is Jim Furyk, 9,200. He's gone 10 straight events without shooting a round of 2+ or worse. 10 straight events without shooting a round of +2 or worse. So this guy is just, he doesn't get in trouble. And at this course, that's going to be huge. I don't trust Jim Furyk too much. And I think at some point he's going to regress to who he was just over a year ago, maybe. But for now, he's playing great. Tee to green, he's great. He's super accurate, and he's going to avoid the bunkers. He's going to avoid water. He's going to avoid trees, and he's going to keep you in it on this course where he could win at 7 under. He could win at 10 under. So I like him here again. He also played well last year at this tournament. I think he was, geez, I want to say he finished 7th here last year. But he's coming off of a great stretch, obviously, and he's got good course history here, good fit, so I like him. Lucas Glover, I think people could kind of fade him at 9,000. The price tag's decently high. He missed the last cut. I might have been a week early when I said last week that he was gonna fall off. Or before that, at the Arnold Palmer, I said he's playing above himself right now and he's gonna fall off. But I think I might have been a week early because he did fall off last week. But, you know, it was the first time his driving accuracy had been sub 60 in 8 tournaments, I believe. So I think, you know, he gets that driver back this week and he'll be fine. And if his ownership's going to be lower, that's even better for me. So I'll probably play him again this week. My risky plays for GPPs. You know, I had to think long and hard about this one. First one, Paul Casey. Quick moment of silence for everybody who picked him last week because that was bad. He put 3 in the drink on 17. He had a rough week, rough 2 days. Wasn't a good putter, but he's typically hasn't been a great putter lately, so that wasn't surprising anybody. But he had 7,900. I figured there was going to be a lot of people picking him last week and kind of let a lot of people down. But I think he's going to be in people's doghouses now. Nobody's going to want to pick him as much at 9,700, even though he is the defending champ here. But then I listened to those podcasts, like I said earlier, and everybody said that they felt like pivoting from Reed because Patrick Reed he's been playing pretty decent, but he has a great course history here. A couple second place finishes, a seventh place finish. So they were going to switch to Paul Casey. I could see a lot of people that know the game well are going to say Paul Casey is going to be a fade this week, so everybody's going to run to him because Patrick Reed's going to be chalky. So I mean, depending on where ownership goes, I might flip to Reed, in all honesty, but I would have to watch that ownership-wise. Paul Casey or Reed, pretty interchangeable, but it's all based on who's picking who. Let's see. Keegan Bradley is my next one at 9,400. He's shot some low rounds, but he's also had a lot of blowups, and his putter is obviously going to be hit or miss, mostly miss. But in his last 8 rounds, he's had 4 rounds at 4 under better in the last 2 weeks. So if you can throw in these Florida courses that are a lot of opportunities to go in the drink, a lot of opportunities to double bogey, if you can throw out a couple rounds at 4 under or better, you're going to be in this no matter what because the winner is not going to take off. 14 under is almost the tippy top. I mean, I could see DJ probably going lower than that because he's a psycho, but Keegan Bradley should have a shot here. And at 9,400, he's got a lot of upside. It just depends on whether people are going to pick him or not. But either way, a lot of potential there. He could end up winning this tournament if he brings his putter, just like most weeks. Next guy, Bubba Watson at 8,900 for my GPP plays. His big drawback this year has been his driving accuracy and his putting, but he still managed to card 4 top 30s in his last 5 events since the Waste Management. He's really good at par 5 scoring, which if you can score on the par 5s here, that'll keep you in it. He's actually 2nd in driving distance this year. So if he's got holes where he needs to club down to stay in play, to hit his right spots, he can do that and be a little bit more accurate. So it won't hurt him as much. If he's hitting putts just like Keegan, you know, he's going to have a shot to win this. And I feel like not a lot of people are talking about him right now, and that's the perfect time for Bubba to really come up here top 5 or even win this thing. So I kind of like him as a GPP play. Those were my big dogs this week. For my value plays, we're going to start at 7,200 and work our way up to 8,800. Or I typically go reverse of that. I go high to low, but that's the range that we're going to be in here. Solid plays, Jason Kokrak for cash plays, 8,600 on DraftKings. not the greatest showing last week at 48th place, but he did shoot 4-under on Friday and then made the cut there, and then he shot a closing round 2-under, and he's just gone on the greens, and he still continues to play well. So it's his tee to green game is just excellent, and he actually has better course history here than he has the last few weeks, where he's got 2 top 10s and a 14th place finish in the last 5 years here. So good fit, good form. Even if he starts knocking down putts, then who knows, he could even win this. But I still like Kokrak here. He seems to be a great fit for this course. Next guy I like, and it sounds like a lot of other guys, every podcast I think that I listen to said something about Russell Knox, but that's why I'd probably just keep him in cash plays here. But I like him at 8,100. He avoids terrible rounds. In his last 8 tournaments, which has been 32 total rounds, he hasn't shot worse than 2 over in any one of those 32 rounds, which is incredible. So if he can manage to do that here, you know, top 20 is almost a guaranteed. In those 8 straight tournaments, he's been anywhere from 10th to 51st place. And like I said, this is a somewhat of a weaker field, so I see him more around that top 20 range than back at 51st. Who knows, anything could happen at these courses, but he's just been so good at avoiding the blow-ups that he should have a shot here. Next guy for the cash plays is Sung J.M. Everybody seems to be on him too, especially because he's only 7,700. So he's probably going to be pretty high owned. He's only had 1 bad round out of these 10 rounds he's played here in Florida. And then last under he missed the cut, but he was even, so it wasn't like he was terrible to miss that cut. In this field, he's 7th in strokes gained tee to green. So he should be able to bounce back here, where tee to green work is going to save you. You know, Bay Hill 2 weeks ago, he finished 3rd. You know, I don't know if he's going to finish that high, but I did place a bet on him to win. So I do have confidence in him. I could see another top 10 here. Risky plays for this value category, my GPP plays, Ryan Moore, but he might end up being pretty highly owned, so I kind of watch that. I was on him, I don't know, a month, maybe 2 months ago. It's probably a little too early because he's just now starting to turn it around. He's had 3 straight finishes, a 33rd or better, and that was including a 9-under 21st place last week, so he's really starting to peak right now and at the right time. He missed the cut here last year, but before that he finished 18th here, 3rd here, 5th here in the previous 3 years. So this is a course that he can go low on and that he can contend. My next risky play, but I don't think he'll be too chalky here at 7,800, is Russell Henley. I think he just hasn't been too consistent lately for people to really love him. But he's got 2 recent top 20s, couple missed cuts in there too. He was 9th here last time he played here in 2017. And around this time last year, he finished 8th at Houston. And then the next week, he was 15th at the Masters. So this was a stretch last year where he was playing some good golf. So I'm trying to catch him before he starts rising on his way up and before everybody is big on him. Because if he starts playing well again, maybe at the Masters, there's a little buzz around Russell Henley to play well. So I kind of want to get in on this before everybody else does. I think he's a pretty solid, risky GPP play. Sung Kang is my next one at 7,200. He's played 13 times this season so far. He's had 6 top 30 finishes, and 2 of those were top 10s, and one of those top 10s was 2 weeks ago at the Arnold Palmer. Some of his best stats are par 3 scoring, par 5 scoring, bogey avoidance. So this should be a course where he feels pretty good on, and he can continue to rock and roll here. So I kind of like Sung Kang, 7,200. the way he's been playing might be kind of higher owned, but there is some risk baked into that. So kind of think about him. If he's someone you like, plug him. Sleeper plays here, 7,100 and under on DraftKings. This is where it starts to get risky, but I, for whatever reason, and I don't know, I've been kind of talking myself into these sleepers down here that I could stack almost Rahm and Dustin Johnson in the same lineup and then plug in some of these guys, because I feel pretty good about these sleepers compared to my value. Usually I feel good about my value picks in the category above this one. But the sleepers, I feel almost as good because it's a weak field, and I think these guys have been playing well enough that you get a couple top 20s down here, and then if you have the winner and then a top 10 up top, then you're going to be sitting real pretty. But my first guy for the cash lineups, Trey Mullinax, 7,100. He missed the cut after starting 3 under in the first round last week. He shot 3 over in the second round for even and ended up just missing the cut. But that 3 under is a good number to have at these tougher courses. Before that, he made 7 straight cuts and then 3 consecutive in the top 25 right before that missed cut. He's been good tee to green. He's a long ball hitter. He's scoring well in the par fives, and he's actually avoiding bogeys, which is sometimes tough to see out of the long hitters. So I see that 3 under round as a pretty big scoring potential here at 7,100 for Trey Mullinax. Next guy might be my favorite pick in this category, but I think everybody's kind of buzzing on him a little bit, so that's why I have him as a cash play. Roger Sloan at 7,000. Looking at his stats, he doesn't have any huge holes in his game, but he doesn't have a lot there that really gives me confidence. But he's coming off of 3 straight top 30s, and 2 of those were at the Honda Classic and the Arnold Palmer Invitational. So at these Florida courses that are, you know, somewhat similar, he's starting to score better, especially on the par 3s and par 5s, which is a good look at this course, because par 4s, you're just going to have to scratch and claw to stay around even there. Where you're really going to make your money is the par 3s and par 5s. So he could be a good sleeper pick here, especially if he's not going highly owned. Next guy is the guy that I bet last week after the first round, who kind of fizzled out over the weekend, but, you know, he's got a good track record here. He's kind of coming into his own. So I like him again this week, but it's Rory Sabatini, 6,900. That's fairly cheap here for a guy that was buzzing around the top of the leaderboard after the first 2 rounds last week. But he was 5th at Valspar last year, and then he was 36th last week at the Players' Championship, and he was 36th at the Honda Classic. So he's got some solid rounds behind him at Florida. You know, he's had ups and downs, but out of his last 8 rounds at the Honda and the Players, 4 of those rounds were 3 under or better. So he's like the really off-brand Keegan Bradley here, where he's blown up a little bit, but he's shown the potential to really score. So he's a guy that I like, where if he can manage to limit those double bogeys, then he's going to be in the hunt here. But I could see after his performance last week, he could be kind of highly owned, especially with the course history and those scoring stats that I rattled off. So he's going to be a cash play. But, I mean, as these guys all low down here could be good GPP plays too, because I can't imagine too many of them are going to be really highly owned. So now we go to the GPP category, the risky guys, which I like this guy too a lot. Actually, I like all 3 of these guys, really. Roberto Castro, 7,100. He's 3 straight made cuts. 2 of those were 25th or better is what he finished. This year, he's 8th overall in strokes gained approaching the green. So that's going to be huge here. He's good at getting to the greens. Is all of his scoring numbers, bogey avoidance, par 5, par 3 scoring, they're all pretty solid. Just good form for 7,100, you know, I could see this guy top 20, and I actually put some bets on him to top 10 and top 20. He's one of my favorite picks this week. Next guy on the list, Wyndham Clark, 6,900. He had the DQ last week, the old sign in your card with the wrong score on it. He shot an 80, signed it for 79, so he ended up getting disqualified. Terrible round, really. But before that, he had two straight top 10 finishes. He's fourth in driving distance. He can really club down if he needs to here, which is a luxury that a lot of guys won't have. He's actually been really good putting this year, so if he can get to the greens and if his irons are all right, he could really surprise people coming off of that 80 disqualification there. Next guy on the list, Carlos Ortiz. I think I put money on him to lead the first round. He is 6,800. Three out of his last four, he's made the cut. And the cut that he missed, he was a stroke back at Honda, so it was borderline there. So it wasn't like he was playing terrible. Two of his last three events were 29th place finish and a 9th place finish. And he did make the cut here twice. I believe it was in 2015, 2016. Didn't really shoot well. He was in the 50s or the 60s in terms of placing. I think he was like 6 over and 7 over. But the fact that he's played here before, the fact that he's made the cut here before, just that experience is something that I think going to help him out at 6,800. Not a bad sleeper pick. And then kind of my dark horses here, way down at the bottom. But first one, price tag is a little bit higher, but I don't have full confidence in him yet. Nick Taylor, 7,300. Cuts wise, he's been all right in the last year. He hasn't really been finishing that high. But he's had four straight events where he's 33rd or better. And at Sawgrass, his last three rounds were 3-under, 3-under, and 5-under. So that could have anybody feeling real confident going into the next tournament. So maybe he comes in here and does stuff. I could see a lot of people taking flies on him, but his price tag is pretty low, so he can't be too highly owned. But he's one of my dark horse picks. I kind of like him this week. The next guy is Max Homa, 6,300, so he's way down there. His last four finishes have all been between 10th place and 37th place. So, his floor looks pretty good here. His course history isn't great. But he does have experience here. So, for a guy at 6,300 that's played here a bunch and is in pretty good form, I mean, that could be a good sleeper pick that you could throw in with a couple of the top dogs, and he gets you through to the cut, maybe even top 20 if you're lucky. Next guy is kind of a similar guy, Jonas Blix. Both of these guys have been putting real well, so I think that's been holding up their scores. But, I mean, even if you're putting well, that'll get your confidence boosted. Maybe the rest of your game will come behind it. But Jonas Blix, 6,200. He's made four of his last five cuts, and all those cuts that he made, his finishes were between 15th and 38th. So just like Max Homa, like, real consistent lately, making cuts, not finishing crazy high, but still doing pretty well. But his last two times at this course, he's finished in the top 25, just barely in those. So for 6,200, guy that's in good form, you know, had good course history here, putter's really hot, you know, he could be a very good sleeper dark horse pick. So those are all my picks this week. Just to go over strategy wise for betting, I think I'm going to throw them all into one podcast here instead of doing them separately. I did them separate for the last one, and it was a total of like 60 minutes. I want to kind of keep this shorter, put them all into one. I think I'm at like 30 minutes right now. But just to give you a quick betting preview, it probably won't be as big as the last one. Last 5 years here, the winner has come from three or more strokes back in the first round to come on and win. So this is going to be a bloodbath. I'm not going to want to touch it early because we had Paul Casey shot 6 under last year on the last day to jump up into the lead and win. So I think you're going to see stuff like that happen where Adam Hadwin shot 14 under the year before that here, and he did rounds 1 through 3. He shot all 14 under. So there's crazy stuff that's going to happen. I think if you get a good guy like Hadwin or, you know, someone better, Gary Woodland, Dustin Johnson, Rahm, that jumps out to a lead like that, they're probably just going to run away with it. So betting-wise, I don't see a whole lot here unless you have, you know, a couple decent guys trailing later on in the tournament, then I might bet those. But the scoring here is just too crazy that I'm probably not going to touch anything here. I did go Dustin Johnson. They have him based on his odds at plus 550. That's like 15-16% chance to win. My model has him at 20% chance to win. So I hate thinking that a guy's got, with 144 people in the field, a guy has that good of a chance to win. But that's what my model's saying, and it's way better than what his odds are, even 5% better, which is pretty big. So I did go with DJ, but I mean, there's still some good talent here. If you want the numbers, you can just go to my article where I have these projections. I don't feel like rattling any of these off, and I don't think anybody wants to listen to me talk about this. So top 10, Roberto Castro, Sung Jae-im, Ches Reavie. I think those are probably your best sleeper picks. But at this course, like I said, it's crazy and anything can really happen here. I think there's going to be the cream rises to the top where there's a few guys up at the top of the leaderboard that are just going to, you know, put together a couple rounds that are close to 8, 10 under and just jump ahead and win this thing or really dominate the show. But I think there is some deep talent here you can look into. Like I said, the winning score is probably between 7 and 14 under. So you're going to want to keep that in mind while you're placing bets. You know, who's got a shot to get there late? And another thing to remember here is that in the last 5 years, there hasn't been a guy that led a round that went on to win this tournament besides Adam Hadwin in 2017. So this is kind of like the last tournament with Jason Day. But Hadwin was leading in 2017 in the second and third round, then went on to win. Outside of that, since 2014, there hasn't been a guy that's been leading one of the first three rounds that won it. So it's should be pretty wide open this tournament. A lot of that has to do with the level of talent that's typically in this field, where, you know, there's not many good guys, so a lot of the decent guys can shoot up. And you'll see guys like Casey shot 6 under on the last day here, and guys will shoot 7 under a round if the course and the conditions allow it. So you can see kind of crazy stuff happen, but it'll be wide open until the third, fourth round to just keep placing bets on some value guys in certain spots. So I'll probably be watching this tournament a little more closely than I did the last one, being the last one was on St. Patrick's Day and I was a little bit irresponsible. But I'll be at home watching a little bit more golf this weekend. Probably be on Twitter sending out some tweets of different guys I'm looking at, different strategies I'm looking into or trends I'm seeing. And feel free to shoot some tweets at me with any questions you might have at SparkShowDFS, and I'll get back to whoever I can. But that's going to be it today for the golf betting stuff. I think tomorrow I should have an article out about the first round of March Madness. I've been doing a little bit of digging and grabbing some stats and stuff and putting some models together. So I think I'll have an article out probably each round or so periodically about all the games, my different predictions and stuff. And probably the big thing is going to be different overs and unders that I'm looking at, spreads that I feel real confident in. So you can look forward to that, seeing those on my website, sparkshowdfs.wordpress.com. I'll have some of those articles up. Good luck to everybody this weekend. Shoot them straight.